Let the church say amen. God is good. And all the time. I'm so glad to see you this morning. God has blessed us to be here once again. And for this we should be eternally grateful. I must say, I got a pleasant surprise this morning. All my sisters showed up. So I'm so thankful for that. And I know that God still does His thing the way He always does. He does well. He does good, for God is good, as we've already said. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O precious Lord, O God of heaven and earth, creator and maker of all things and everybody, thank you this morning, O Lord, for blessing us to be able to come out to serve Thee in spirit and in truth once again, O Lord. Thank you for each and every one that's here this morning, and we thank you for those who still may be on their way and pray that they have safe passage to get here. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your will is good for us. And Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us to see your will being done in many of us. Father, we thank you for the leaders of this congregation, and we pray for their families as well. We thank you for each and every member in the congregation and pray for their families also. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are sick, and we know our sick list just keeps growing. And we pray and ask you, if it be thy will, O Lord, that you would bless and heal those that you see fit to heal. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray this morning for those who are raising their children, especially those who are raising their children up in these dangerous times this morning. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have blessed them to be parents and to give unto them the righteousness that they need to raise their children up in righteousness. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us. Thank you, Father, for those who who may be traveling today. We pray and ask you to give them safe passage that they may get back safe and securely. Father, we thank you that one day you sent your Son Jesus to hang on yonder's cross, to hang, bleed, and die for us, that we may have a right to the tree of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you do for us, O Lord. And now as we move on into the next portion of these services, we pray that the things that we do and say may be found acceptable in thy sight. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk this morning from Matthew, as was read for you here in the 16th chapter of Matthew, starting at verse number 13. We're going to talk this morning from a subject, the church that Jesus built. The church should be a zone of comfort for its people to come to. It should offer what the world does not offer them. It does not need to offer entertainment, for the church is not in the entertainment business. It does not need to be a place of physical rest, but instead it should be a rest stop on the way to be with the Lord. A rest in the world that's overflowing with things that can cause one to lose his or her soul. It should offer truth. It should teach about a man unlike any other man in the world, this world has ever known. A man who can and has walked on water. A man who can and has turned plain water into consumable wine. A man who can and has raised the dead. And a man who can and has transformed lives, that man is Jesus. Certainly we should find him in his church. And if we can't find him in the church, then it should not be called the Church of Christ. This morning, as we continue on and as we look back at a familiar subject about the church, we always like to talk about the church because we like to refresh everybody's memory. So what does a growing church need? A growing church needs committed members. What kind of members does the church need? Committed members. In Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, as Peter preached to the crowd on the day of Pentecost, the record says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They said unto Peter and the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In verse number 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So, what does the church need? The church needs committed members. Now, what is a committed member? Well, I'll tell you what a committed member is. A committed member is one who cares about the church first and foremost. A committed member is one who can reach around others and say, "I stand for the Lord. I stand up for Jesus Christ." A committed member is one who will always let his light shine that others may see. The Holy Spirit, now that they were about to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that is the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God and is not automatically given to us, but we must put on Christ through baptism to receive it. So the church needs sound and committed members. As in members, as in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4. "There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling." We must be a Christ-centered church, believing in Christ if we are to grow. We cannot be a church with the left side of the church believing they are right in what they say and do, and the right side believing they're right in what they say and what they do. We cannot be a church with a split membership base. We all need to be for Christ and not for we ourselves. God's Word is the only answer that should matter. My thoughts and your thoughts won't make any difference unless they are spiritually sound. So we need members who are strong, members who must be strong, members who must consider themselves to be Christ-centered. Let me give you an idea of just what I'm talking about. Any organization, including the church, can have members, but just having members other than boasting about their numbers. They need to be committed members. Now, I don't know a lot about football, but I'll address this to the football fans and those of you who follow football. You know about the Bears this year. They were not very good. They had many members, but somebody wasn't committed to playing for the team. Otherwise, they should have won more games than they did this past season. They were all should have been playing for one purpose, and that purpose was to win the ball game. So the church must have a membership that's committed to spreading the gospel, helping others, teaching others, and sharing Christ to others by their lives. So when I say we must be strong and committed, they must be strong like those in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." So in the final analysis, the church must be strong in the Lord by being serious in His Word, in the Word of the Lord, and the ways of the Lord. Now, somebody may ask the question this morning, "Can I do better than what I'm already doing? Well, you have to ask that question of yourself. Take inventory of yourself. And ask yourself the question, can I do any better? If you're not coming to church each and every Sunday, you can do better. If you're not serving the Lord in spirit and truth, you can do better. If you're not, I'm going to go there later, but if you're not giving like you're supposed to, you can do better. And if you're not letting your light shine, you can do better." So the church needs committed members. Now, I'm going to break that down a little further. Now, the church needs men. More than just men, more than just members, there must be men who care. Now, I'm not saying that the women are not important in the church, because in many churches, if it wasn't for the women, the doors would be locked and closed. But all I'm saying is that men are the church leaders, and sometimes they just need to step up. Well, and I'm not speaking about anyone in particular here this morning. I'm just speaking in general here. The men need to step up. In Luke chapter 18, in verse number 1, Jesus was speaking a parable, and he said, men ought to always pray. So the church needs praying men. God has placed men in places of responsibility. In one of our favorite scriptures regarding the church, in Matthew 16 and 13, who did Jesus ask? He asked men. And men answered him and said, whom do men say that I am? And they answered him in verses 14 through about verses number 18, where he said, where he committed to building the church. But in verse number 19, the keys of the kingdom were given to Peter. And let me caution you on something. I just always like to throw this in. Peter was not appointed the Pope. Peter was not appointed a Pope. He was not the world's first Pope. So now, when you think about it, Christ is the head of the church. But men are in charge of keeping the church running in the way God expects it to be ran here on earth. Ladies, we love you, and you have some responsibilities, but not the responsibilities of running the church. Now, it's good for women to give their opinion to the men folk, but the men folk need to hear the women sometimes, because sometimes the women have ideas that can make things run a little better. But they must be biblically based and biblically authorized in order that men may learn to do better in running the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible speaks of, according to the Bible, it speaks of Jesus wants his church to be taken care of like a man takes care of his wife. This is why strong and loyal men are needed. Working men. If you visit a church and it's got instrumental music, that's not the right church. If you visit a church and it's got Jesus Christ's name on the outside, but it's got a lady in the pulpit, that's not the right church. If Christ is not first and foremost, it's not the right church. So we need men to step up. We need men to make the right decisions, and for men to stand by and stand on biblical decisions. And somebody asked the question this morning, and I don't see that young man that asked the question. He asked about how do you get baptized? What do you do, and how do you gain your faith? Well, I'm going to answer the question a little bit for him, and I know he's not here, but you have to. It was answered for him in Bible class, but we're going to go a step further. We're going to talk about hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of your past sin, confessing Christ, and then being baptized right here in this watery grave of baptism. But as we go on, you must be taught. You must hear the word. And that's how you are taught, by hearing the word. And church, I gotta go here. The church needs money. Now, I know some of you don't like for me to talk about money, but nevertheless, we have to talk about it, because the church can't run without money. The church is not a political organization. It's not a social club. And as I stated earlier, it's not an entertainment center. Therefore, we can't go to the public to raise funds. We must rely on the membership to pay the bills owed to the gas company, to the light company, to the preacher, and everyone else that the church is obligated to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1, it talks of the collection for the saints. The Bible says, orders were given unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. That's why it tells us in verse number 2 when to give. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Oh, I want to talk for a minute about that, if I may. I want to talk for a minute about you giving. I want to talk for a minute about when to give upon the first day of the week. Now, what day is this? This is the first day of the week. Saturday is not the first day of the week. Sunday, the Lord's Day, is the first day of the week. So Paul said he was given the orders to the churches as he had been given unto the churches of Galatia. And upon that first day of the week, let not some of you, but let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. If God didn't give you nothing this past week, don't worry about it. But if God gave you something, you ought to give something to the church. The offering is a part of the worship service. Therefore, it's just as important as the other parts of the services are. Go over with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 1 once again, so I can read it directly from the Bible for you. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, that's when, and this is how, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And look, we take it a step further and go to verse 3, and when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring you liberality unto Jerusalem. Now, we've got to give. The church needs money. It's cold. It's a little chilly outside today, so we got the heat on. We got to pay for that heat. We got the lights on. We got to pay for those lights. We got comfortable benches for you to sit on right there. Some of you have said that they're not so comfortable anymore, but they're pretty comfortable. You need to consider that these are things and obligations that the church has to meet at some point in time. And then there's the work for what the church was designed to do. That is to spread the gospel. We've got to spread the gospel, and spreading the gospel could be as simple as the tracts that we put out in the lobby. Giving someone a tract while you're walking down the street. Well, we have to buy the tracts. So everything that we do takes money, so we need money to run the church. And as I say, the offering is a part of the worship service. So somebody has raised a question in the book of Malachi. They asked the question, he said, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? When one does not give, that puts pressure on the church. And when it comes to meeting its obligation, whether paying the bill or helping to spread the work of the Lord, we must continue the Lord's work. So if you're not helping, you're not giving to God, I'll leave you to answer the rest of the question. If you're not giving, then what are you doing? We must continue the Lord's work in the church. We must continue to preach the gospel. And we must continue to have all things in common and put the Lord first. So when I go back and I look for a moment at how the churches are ran of yesterday versus the churches of today, somebody in some congregation has decided we might need a little music up in here. Well, the Bible doesn't call for music up in here. The Bible calls for us to sing and make melody in our hearts, not with instrumental music. I mean, there are some people here who can probably play instruments. I'm not saying that nobody shouldn't practice and learn to play an instrument. I know Brother Miles likes the guitar. But that doesn't mean Brother Miles should bring his guitar here and strum out a tune for us. Not in church service anyway. So when we sing and make melody in our heart or from our heart. We've got to learn to do what the Bible says. And when I look over in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, look at Acts 2 and verse number, I believe it's Acts 2 and 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now that goes back on the day of Pentecost, where Peter and the apostles preached a stirring sermon. And when they preached the sermon in Acts 2 and verse number 37, look what the Bible says. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why, Peter? For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And as I spoke earlier, the gift is not automatic. You've got to work for it. You've got something you've got to do. So we've got to continue to preach the gospel, have all things in common, and put the Lord first. These are some of the things that we need for the church, for the churches to grow. We must do our best to add to the church so that it may grow here on earth. The church must have a message, and Christ must be that message, that it may be given unto all who believe and taught to those who are non-believers. Our job is to spread the gospel. The leadership is not the sole messenger. The preacher is not the only messenger. It must be a shared ministry. All of us must work together to not only grow the congregation, but to spread the word far and near for all to know. Now some have said, well, let the preacher do it. Well, the preacher can only do so much. Let the elders and the leadership do it. Well, the elders can only do so much. But if we all got together and each one of you picked up your telephone and reached out to somebody, or if you meet somebody on the street and reach out to them and give them a kind word about a kind word from the Bible. Tell them about the Lord. Tell them something that they may not know. Tell them how that Christ died for our sins and was crucified for our sins, hung, bled, and died, and then resurrected himself out of the grave. Tell somebody about the story of the cross. Tell somebody something about somebody they may not know anything about. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You know, Christians have often asked the question, how can I let my light so shine? Well, I'll tell you how you can let your light so shine. You can let your light so shine by living the life that you have been instructed to live, by being obedient to the Lord. And does that mean we're all going to be right? No, it does not. Does that mean that you won't fall into some kind of trap? No, it does not. It means you stand a better chance of not, but it doesn't mean that you will not. It means that you should not. And then, when I think about it and I think on these things, I ask myself the question, and you should ask yourself the question too. Lord, where would I be except by your grace? Lord, I know that without you I am nobody and I am nothing without you. When I ask myself, what church is the right church? I tell you it's the church of Christ, because the Bible just talked about the church of Christ in Matthew 16, starting with verse number 13 and going through verse number 19. I tell you about the church of Christ because that's the only church that I can find in God's New Testament. And somebody might say, well, they had different kind of churches in the Old Testament. But we don't live by the Old Testament. We live under grace and truth today. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So if it was not good for the New Testament under Jesus Christ when he died for one church. He died for the church that bears his name. He was pierced in his side, and out of his side came blood and water. And that blood and water was the purchase price for the church of Christ. And if you can tell me anybody else that died on yonder's cross, was raised up again, and is still living, I'll eat the Bible. Because I know that the Bible is right. I know that if it says, upon this rock I will build my church, and it was Jesus speaking about his church, I know that's right. If I understand it right, when Jesus came to this earth and men were saying that, calling him somebody else, he wanted to know the truth. And he said, upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. And I may as well add and tell you this, Peter was not the rock. Peter spoke the truth. But Peter was not the rock that the church was built upon. So my time is just about up. And when I think about it, I like to ask people, what about your parents? Did they know about the Church of Christ? And many of them will say, including me and my sisters right here, we didn't know a lot about the Church of Christ. We were not taught about it. My father was not, and my mother were not Church of Christ members. But yet and still, it behooves us when we grow up to learn all about Jesus Christ. And when I grew up, I learned something about it. And you know, I told you this before and I'll tell you again. I wasn't always a member in good standing in the church. Because I stayed out in the street a good while before I went back to church. But when I came back to church, I realized that this is where I'm supposed to be. And that's where I'm at today. So upon this rock, when Christ built his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whatever you have in your mind as the right church, you need to make sure that you can find it in the Bible. And in Romans 16:16, the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And then in Acts it speaks about where the church of Christ that was purchased with his own blood. Now whose blood was shed for the purchasing of the church? Jesus Christ. God himself, God the Father, did not purchase the church. Jesus built the church. So when you think about it, and you let your mind roam and you begin to wonder about things, you begin to wonder if I'm in the right church. If your church cannot be found in those pages in the Word of the Word of God, you're not in the right church. So just somebody may say, well, my mother took me and got me baptized when I was about 12 years old. But if she didn't baptize you in the Church of Christ, you need to rethink your baptism. Because if you need to come into the Church of Christ, and we'll baptize you. And when you go underwater, that's where the blood mingles with the water and you come up a new creature in Jesus Christ. So think about it. And now let me issue my invitation to you. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you come by hearing, by believing, by repentance, by confession, and then by being baptized. If you are a member, but somewhere you've walked astray. And I'll tell you something. It's easy to walk astray if you're not careful. The preacher can walk astray. The elders can walk astray. The members can walk astray. But if you've walked astray, you ask God to forgive you. Ask the church to pray with and for you. As we together stand and sing the invitation song.
Page 50.